What day?
Oh, it's Wednesday. Hello. Hi. Welcome. It's time for Atomic Radio Hour, the post-nuclear podcast. I am your host, Vince. Welcome to today's program. Episode 340 of the show. I want to give a quick shout-out to the Ghoulman Entertainment Patreon. If you like the show and you want to listen to them, get recorded live in the description below. Check it out. There's info. Check out the Patreon. Join the Discord. Bunch of fun stuff down there. Welcome. Love you. Got a show for you. I got a fun one. My voice is a tad hoarse. A little pony, if you will. Quite the show scheduled for you. Fun piece of lore. Sticking with a theme that we've been sticking with lately. And then I got a little piece that I wanted to share with the class that I added to a collection of mine. Welcome to the show. First off, I'd like to start off by talking about the Matthew Perry documentary that is now on Peacock. I have directly next to me. On Peacock, it's called Matthew Perry, A Hollywood Tragedy. It's out on Peacock, like I said. It came out on February 25th, which is the day after I'm recording this. It was a Tuesday. This will be live on a Saturday. Welcome to, also welcome to March, baby. This year is flying through. Nope, I'm sorry. The first. Yeah, it's the first. Welcome to March. Anyway, this had come out. Apparently, Matthew Perry's father was the original Old Spice man. That's what I've heard from people who have seen this. If you've been around for a while, we used to make fun of Matthew Perry. It's kind of weird to say now that he's passed on. For such a petty reason. The long and the short of it was, I went to a Fallout trivia contest, and I knew every question. Like, genuinely, I'm not just saying this. Like, I knew every question. I was correcting the quiz master on his lore before he had even given us any of the questions. And this isn't a brag. I'm just telling you a story because Matthew Perry comes into it. The quiz master even heard me and somebody else talking about Fallout lore and was like, I have to change some of these questions because what I have is too basic. I love this stuff. And the guy's asking questions and I'm going, well, technically that's wrong. Technically it's this, but like, I can see where you're coming from. And like, that's a common misconception, but it's actually this way and not that way. And like, one of them I believe was like, what are the vault's purpose? And it was like, to shield humanity. And I'm like, technically not. Technically they're experiments and then they could have some of them. And then, you know, Vault-Tec, the Enclave, getting to space, like all this other stuff, right? Like, it was like, yeah, I guess. And it was like, all right, I guess we'll pass that one, to the point where like, I remember the one time a question was asked and they like looked at me and I was like, no, that's right. And it came, so I feel like a penis now because the question comes to me and he's like, who from Friends voiced Benny in Fallout New Vegas? And I didn't know. I'd never watched Friends. I'm not that shade of Caucasian. So I was just like, David Schwimmer, because he was in Madagascar. Even someone I went with was like, who's got time to watch Friends? We were busy playing Fallout. And then I came in fourth. Olive, I think, came in like third or second. I know she didn't win. Because it was two friends of mine. So there was another kid. I say kid. This was also like 10 years ago. There was somebody else I was friends with. And then there was also Olive. And there was some guy that we never saw. And it felt like he left and we never saw him ever again. And he got like money off his game or whatever. One of the other people I went with gave me a bottle cap opener, a Nuka one. It's here somewhere. I'd get it, but I've shown it before. That's like super rare that I've never seen listed anywhere else online. It's rare to me. I don't know. There could be billions of them out there that they were throwing away. But like, to me, I've never seen them online before. And then Olive One, she had a shirt. I think she wore the shirt like the first time we ever recorded. Anyway, the question I got, the answer was Matthew Perry. And it became this thing. It became this joke. It became a joke amongst my friends. It became a joke within the podcast itself. And then he died. And then it was just like, oh, okay, cool. Like, I never made those jokes genuinely. I never hated a man because I got a trivia thing. Like, I failed the trivia contest. It was more of a joke. And, like, I felt really bad about it afterwards, but it was in jest. Like, it wasn't real. So to me, it didn't, like, you know, it didn't seem like a real gesture. And now there's this documentary out there, and I was reading some of the comments for the YouTube trailer on YouTube. And people are like, you know, I think out of respect, I'm not going to watch this. It's a very tragic tale of a guy who was on drugs, and then he was clean, and then he was back on drugs, and then he was clean, and then he's drinking, and he's doing this, and he's doing that, and everything else. And eventually it came down to he lost his life, and there was a couple people that were in on it and trying to take advantage of him, and they went through phone records, and this is all public knowledge as far as I know at this point, but it's sad. And a big part of the Fallout community went away. I didn't even talk about it. Let me see if I can find it real quick in the Discord. Peter Jason, who was Sergeant Arch Dornan, and I'm probably saying that wrong. I know I'm probably saying that wrong. Passed away, who was outside of Navarro and would be like, "Where's your power armor?" Like, he died. These pieces of the Fallout community are slowly leaving us. And when I saw Matthew Perry go, even though, there was the joke about me not liking Matthew Perry, which wasn't true, it was a joke, it hurt to see him go. As much as I would, shit on him, Benny's one of my favorite characters. I love the way he talks, I love the way he acts, I love the way he thinks. He's a great antagonist. He's a great low-level antagonist. He's a very good Act 1 or Act 2 antagonist. And now it's gone. And if you just kind of want to wrap a bow on the life of what was one of our favorite characters, you can go. I'm not getting paid for this, but I'm saying you can go watch some of this and see for yourself and see how it makes you feel. I'm always weird about documentaries when they're so close to the person dying. I believe this was in 23. I love that we're slowly just referring to the 20s by their names and not 2023. But yeah, this was October 28th, so close to Fallout Day. October 28th. 2023, I think you should wait 5 years out of respect for the person, because now it's just like, how can we defile a corpse? But if you've seen it, let me know what you think about it. Let me know in the comments below if they talk about Fallout at all, because there's a very famous clip of Matthew Perry on Ellen talking about how much he loves Fallout 3, and that got him to the role of Benny. So, rest in peace to you, Matthew Perry. I have a really great piece of lore that I would love to share with you, but before I can share with you this week's lore, I have to thank some people. Some names on screen currently are representative of the Ghoulman Entertainment Patreon. These fine folks help the show get bigger and better. They help support. They're good people. They're good folks. I like them. They believe in the show. They want to see it get bigger and better. And every month, they give a small monetary amount to see that happen. And real quick, I would like to thank them. Starting from the top, I have to thank the OG Noah. Thank you, Noah. After Noah, I have to thank Willie DeWitt. Thank you to Willie DeWitt. After Willie DeWitt, I have to thank Mellow Millhouse. Thank you to Mellow Millhouse. After Mellow Millhouse, I have to thank Captain Lennox. Thank you to Captain Lennox. After Captain Lennox, I have to thank Danish Hound Dog. Thank you to Danish Hound Dog. And last but certainly not least, I have to thank Brotherhood Outcast. Like I said, because of the fine folks that you see currently on your screen, the show continues to grow and get bigger and better. And I love you guys very much. I appreciate it. Again, if you'd like to check out any of that, link below, Ghoulman Entertainment, Patreon, the house that Ron built. Love you guys. Thank you. So for this week's lore, I've been really enjoying going back and getting footage and playing Fallout 4 and talking about this game, especially because it's past, as of this point in time, it's about 10 years since the game has come out. I was like fresh out of high school. I was figuring stuff out. And the words atomic radio hour were not quite developed fully inside of my gray matter. It was just a thing that hadn't even been brought up to me. Actually, the inception for the show, oddly enough, came about because of how excited I was for 76. That's a story for another day. I want to talk more about Fallout 4, so I hit the Ghoulman Entertainment Patreon and I asked a question. And I asked to them, what do you want to hear more of? Do you want to hear about a quest or a location in Fallout 4. This quest description is going to leave it open a little bit for a later description, which I think is going to be fun. So I went to the Patreon and I asked a very simple question of, what do you want to hear? Like I said, lore, you want to hear location, what is it? So if you would like to hear any lore, and I mean any lore whatsoever from the Fallout franchise, be it the show, the games, the one comic book we have, anything, the board game, check out the Ghoulman Entertainment Patreon from the $1 tier all the way up to the $10 tier, the Film Live for a Studio audience tier. Your voice can be heard every single week when it comes time to choose the lore, because only the Patreon can vote in the poll. And this week's lore, by way of the Ghoulman Entertainment Patreon, I bring to you Diamond City Blues, the quest, the side quest from Fallout 4. Now, this is a quest that I didn't remember doing. I remember vaguely doing it. I don't remember the second part. It's technically a second quest, so I'm not going to be talking about it much. I will talk about the introduction to it a little bit, but I'm not going to talk about the second quest. It's essentially, it's a sequel, and not so much a part two. If you want, check out the Patreon and suggest that quest, and maybe I'll do that one next. I love Diamond City. Diamond City is one of my favorite settlements in the entire franchise. I think it's just because I'm a baseball guy, and baseball has such a romanticism around it. It's not a coincidence why I wear a baseball hat, a cap, if you will, for the show. I love baseball. I love the romanticism of it, and I love what Fallout does. Modern Fallout, how it plays upon Americana, patriotism, jingoism, nihilism. It plays against all these things that the world kind of builds up to, especially greed, which is, you know, probably the only thing America truly imports and exports. I love Diamond City because it's based off of Fenway Park in Boston. It's one of, if not the oldest baseball stadiums in America. Fenway Park was built in 1912 and is still there to this day. Yankee Stadium, the original one, was torn down, oh God, almost 20 years ago. And that was an old one too. I got to sit in those seats. And I think that's pretty cool. But anyway, it's an old stadium and you get to see this piece of Americana. The only problem I really have with Diamond City is the layout's not great. I feel like I kind of know where everybody is in all the other major settlements. I kind of know where everybody is. It kind of. Keyword is kind of. Know where everybody is in Rivet City. I kind of know where everybody is in Novak. I kind of know where everybody is on the Strip. You know what I mean? Like, I kind of know where these things are. I don't really know what's going on a lot of the time with Diamond City. Like, I forget that things are there. I don't know if it's too spread out. I don't know if it's not built up upon each other enough because Megaton has that feel to it where everything's just kind of stacked. A lot of people, I feel like, miss this. And it's the Colonial Tap House. When you enter Diamond City, you go down the steps and to the right where you would go to see McDonough. There is another bar that's over there and it's called the Colonial Tap House. And the first time you go in there, you get to see a tried and true American pastime. Domestic abuse. You get to see this guy, Paul Pembroke. You see old Paul Pembroke when you enter the Colonial Tap House. And you see a woman who turns out to be his wife, Darcy Pembroke. They have a child together. And you also meet the barkeep, the owner, a man by the name of Henry Cook. Now, Henry Cook has a daughter named Colette, but we don't find out about her till much later, and she'll come up in just a little bit. You'll see that Paul Pembroke is fighting with his wife. He's like, can you please come home and watch your kid and stop drinking all gosh damn day? And she's hooking up with Henry Cook. And Cook's like, oh, you know, your wife wants to live a little, this and that, doo-doo-doo. And eventually, they throw hands, and you watch Paul get his shit rocked. And that's putting it lightly. He does, like, you know, depending on how he hits him, he can do a flip. I get all my lore off of Fallout.Fandom.com, the Nukipedia, if you will. I love these games, I've played these games, but every now and again I like to reference them when I do the lore. And sometimes I'll watch a video just to kind of get me back in the swing of it, being like, oh, that's right, I did do this that one time. And when I watched the video that I watched, I'm sorry that I don't have the person to credit who I watched, they did a backflip, and it was very funny to me. He gets up, and he's like, all right, I guess I'm leaving. Paul gets up, and he's like, all right, I guess I'm leaving. And he looks at his wife, and he's like, I'll be at home with our child. And then he skedaddles, and, you know, you can have a conversation with Cook, and you can have a conversation with Pembroke's wife, and then you just kind of go back to Diamond City, and eventually Pembroke will approach you and be like, hey, you saw that. I got my ass handed to me. Could you go, like, maybe kill him? or talk to him or something. I just want my wife back. Depending on how you talk to him, you can get caps out of it. I believe it's 80 caps. You can get an amount of caps out of him and he'll be like, here's the down payment. Go rough him up. Go kill him. Go do what you have to do. And this is a diverging path for Fallout 4, which is an oddity. It's a rare thing that it's there. So there's one of three different ways. All of them pretty much end with you finding out about a chem deal, and we'll get there when we get there. You can confront Henry Cook with Paul. You can calm him down, or you could even get him a bit riled up. If Paul is calm, you'll be told of Cook's upcoming chem heist, where they're about to break into this deal. They're about to take the other side for all the caps. And you could become a part of it. If Cook is with you, he becomes part of it. And if not, he'll just walk in and shoot him. They'll get into an argument. There's a way that Cook kills Paul. And the sole survivor can find a note on Cook if he happens to die that says what the plan is. And you can go get what you need from this deal that you're about to go intercept. If you get the note, you can tell Paul about it. You don't have to tell Paul about it whatsoever. Either way, Darcy goes back with Paul. The second way is he can be shot to death. Paul can be shot to death by Cook. And he's just such a cuck. He's so pathetic. And then you can just back out of being on his side, and they can both die in this situation as well. If you back out of this deal, he's like, so much for you being on my side. And it's just like so pathetic. This dude's like, his wife's screwing around behind his back. He's taking care of their kid while she's getting drunk and sleeping with this dude. You're like, hey, buddy, need a shoulder to cry on? Cool, let's go get your wife back. And you guys are pretty like, hey, oh, what murder? I don't know what's going on. Or you can go and find Henry Cook by yourself. And if you pass a charisma check, he'll stop allowing Darcy Pembroke into the bar. If failed, he'll become hostile. And you can grab the note on his dead body and then optionally allow Paul Pembroke in on the scheme. If you want, he becomes a temporary companion where he's like, look, we're going to go hit this. We're going to go hit this chem exchange. That's a tad north of here, and we'll go figure it out. Once you're in on the deal, no matter how you handled the previous three, you head north and you find Nelson, Latimer, and Trish, along with three unnamed triggermen. You'll be ambushed by the five of them. There's a bit of a glitch, if you will. If you have Dogmeat or if you have Kate, X2, and I believe Strong, you'll have to initiate conversation with them. If not, they'll just ambush you, and then you have to kind of take them on. So, you know, come well equipped. Once you take them all out, Nelson, you get rid of immediately. Trish is an essential NPC at this given time, and you'll tell her, like, don't get up. Or don't attack. And then she's like, oh, but what if I, you know, a couple speech checks here and there. She's like, what if I, you know, I let you in on this other deal, and there's the Murawski heist that she's trying to hit this other, like the chem lab where all these chems come from. She's trying to get out of this. You can be let in on the chem heist with her, but, you know, you can let her go. You can kill her. No matter what the outcome is, if she's still alive and Cook is still alive, he'll fight Trish. He'll go after Trish. And depending on how that ends, Cook will talk to you and or Paul if he's with you. Now, if Paul is there for the ambush and obviously alive, you have the option to split the take on the chems. You could do a 50-50 split, which he recommends. You could do a 70-30 split, and you can also do a 100-0 split. There's a couple different outcomes whether or not you take that. If you split it 50-50, the sole survivor will get Nelson's caps and Paul will get 240 chems. If you split it 70-30, the sole survivor gets all 240 chems and Paul will get 500 caps. And if you do it a 100-0 split, the sole survivor gets all 240 chems and all of Nelson's caps. If Nelson got away, you split it. There's three different crates of chems containing 30 each of Buff Out Jet, Psycho, and Mentads, and that gets split up depending on how you'd like to do it. If you do it 70-30, it's four crates of chems, 40 of them each. Paul only gets two crates. And if the sole survivor, you don't get any caps, but you get 240 chems, which is big money, especially if you have a high charisma. If you screw over Paul during this, he'll tell Colette and say, this is why her father is dead. Now, her father leaves town. He's like, all right, I'm getting out. I'm done. He's like, I made my money. I did what I had to do. I tied up a bunch of loose ends. Let's get out of here. If Paul gets screwed over, he'll tell Henry Cook's daughter, Colette Cook, and she'll come back to Diamond City looking for the sole survivor, blaming him for, or her, for the death of her father when he really just skipped out on town. If he's alive, he says, he's like, I'm done. I'm out. These were my last loose ends. I'm getting out of here. She will attack you unless persuaded to tell her that Paul was behind it. And then she just goes and kills Paul. He's just sad. Every part of Paul is sad. So if Cook is killed in the tap house, when you meet him originally, when you go there with Paul, if he's killed, Colette can come looking for them. Paul will get a little nervous about it. You could talk him down, but eventually she might show up and try to attack. She holds the sole survivor gunpoint again. If you persuade her where she thinks nobody's the bad guy, she may show up in a random settlement as a random encounter and just kill you and just attack you. And then you got to take her down. That's a fun one. But, you know, no loose ends. Now, if Paul is not told about the deal, he'll still treat the sole survivor as if he was had everything taken from him in the deal, and he will tell Colette as well. Now, at this point in time, the way the quest ends is you get to go to the Four Leaf Clover fish packing plant, where you find out the Murawski family has a drug lab, a chem lab, and when you go there, it ends the quest, Diamond City Blues. From here, you can start the Murawski quest, but that's really it for Diamond City Blues. That's the quest line itself. All the loose ends are tied up. They might come back a little later to haunt you, but you've pretty much done it. Either a man is dead, two men are dead, some guy is no longer getting cucked, was probably going to get cucked later. It's a sad story. It's a great quest. I haven't played this since I first played the game, so I'm going to enjoy having all this footage behind me for you guys. Just some fun facts and some notes for you. If MacReady is with the sole survivor, when you start attacking Trish, MacReady may become hostile and leave. if your friendship, your relationship is not already maxed out with MacReady. If the chem deal's going on and you start shooting before talking to Cook, or you kill him afterwards, Curie will hate it and leave you. If you go there with Strong and you take all of the chems, he will actually be like, you should share that. If both Paul Pembroke and Henry Cook die before you get to the meeting spot, it will never trigger Colette to come find you. If Cook dies before you can convince him to stop letting Darcy come into the tap house, she just still goes there even though it's an empty tap house. That's Diamond City Blues. That's a quest from Fallout 4. It's a fun one. I hope the footage behind me has been decent for you. I can't wait to play it again. And I hope you've enjoyed that, because that is this week's lore. Hey guys, I got a pretty fun third segment for you. If you just give me a second to adjust the Michael phone, take a little sippy sip of the old wet. Now, one of the perks of being in a larger city, you know, a place with things to do, the way somebody's God intended for humanity to live and, you know, see what's out there. There's a bunch of hobby shops. There's a bunch of hobby shops near me. I went to the comic book store the other day. This isn't going to be about comics. I'm sorry that I keep bringing this up. Went to the comic book store the other day, and I got myself, from 1977, Marvel's run of Godzilla, King of the Monsters. It's a 24-book run, and I was just saying about how I want to start collecting those because they're not very expensive, especially if you buy them raw. And I got it for $17, which is a steal, if I have ever heard of one. So I was excited about that. But before that, I went to go play some board games at a local card and board game shop in my neck of the woods. And we go there, and one of my friends who is with me is big on Magic. And I've never really played Magic. I played it a little bit in high school, but not a tremendous, tremendous amount. I understand the mechanics. I like Keyforge a lot. If you guys have been listening for a while, Keyforge used to go crazy. But I saw something, because I asked if they had any of the Fallout cards, because I want to know if they had any singles, and if they had any good singles. And I got two of them. I'd like to share them with the class, if I may. The first one, the one that I bought, the other one was a present, the one that I bought for a whopping 33 cents, I got my favorite character in the entire franchise. Probably my favorite character in the entire franchise. There's a top 10, a top 3, and this dude is one of the top 3, and I got Three Dog Bow Wow. Please focus. Hold on, he's like kind of coming out. So I have the card on screen. Depending on how bad the green screen is, I might just make it the background for this. I didn't think about the green screen. This one, it's Three Dog, Galaxy News DJ, legendary creature. He's a human bard. Whenever you attack, you may pay 2 and sacrifice any aura attached to Three Dog Galaxy News DJ. When you sacrifice an aura this way, for each attacking creature you control, create a token that's a copy of your aura attached to the creature. He is card R0120PIP*EN. And this says on it, Bethesda Softworks, 2024, Wizards of the Coast. And my favorite part about this, because when I read it, I could hear it. Oh, I also have it double bagged. I didn't realize I had it double sleeved up. I can hear it when I read it.
You're listening to Galaxy News Radio, bringing you the truth, no matter how bad it hurts.
And I just thought it was so cool that, like, I have Three Dog as a card. And arguably, Three Dog is the reason this show exists. When I've told the story before, I'll tell it again. It's my show. I can do what I please. Growing up, the big thing in my high school was a Thanksgiving volleyball tournament. It was a very big deal. Everyone came together. We donated food for Thanksgiving. It was right before, like a few days before Thanksgiving. So poor families with less could come in, get some things so they could have a nice Thanksgiving, right? Everybody bought fucking candy yams. It was like, there's always a huge stack of candy yams. But I had a team that was the Vault Dwellers. And all of our numbers were based on vaults. So I was Vault 101. You know, there's a bunch of other ones. I don't remember whose was what, but I bought gray t-shirts and I spray painted yellow names and numbers. And mine was Three Dog. This has always been my favorite character. I love Three Dog. Bow wow. And then when we were looking through some things, I didn't want to spend a grip. But my friend that I was with was very kind and had purchased me a card because I was afraid I wanted to come back because I knew I was just going to spend money because there was a bunch of cards in there. Boone was in there. I wanted Boone. Arcade was in there. I wanted that. There was a Pip-Boy variant card. I don't remember what it was. There was Robo Brains. I want to say Lanius wasn't there because if Lanius or Kaisar was there, I would have bought it, but they weren't. Vulpus and Cult I would have bought. He wasn't there either. But one of my other favorite things from Fallout, like top three favorite things from Fallout ever, was there. And my friend bought it for me. Butch Deloria. Tunnel Snake. Tunnel Snakes rule. And he's a legendary creature. He's a human rogue. Menace, this creature can't be blocked except by 2 or more creatures. Tunnel Snakes rule. Whenever Butch Deloria, Tunnel Snake, attacks, it gets a +1/+1 until the end of its turn. For each other rogue and snake in your control. One dark, one black, I believe it is. Again, I'm not really one for magic. Put a menace counter on another target creature. It becomes a rogue in addition to its other types. It's a 2/2. It is card U0571PIPEN. And now I have this. These are two cards that are now on my shelf. I keep Three Dog with my collector's edition of Fallout 3, and I keep, which is next to my signed copy of Fallout 3, and I keep Butch next to the Butch Funko Pop Mystery Mini, who's also next to the Fallout 3 collector's edition bobblehead, and my figure of Fox that a friend had sent me. I want to get these cards graded. There's a couple things I want to get graded, then I have an idea of how I'm going to revamp the shelf and maybe show you guys a little something. But I love to collect. Ah, I love it. I love having just a thing that collects dust. I got to reorganize a lot of this. A lot of this is like, I have stuff in boxes that were gifts from friends that have to go up on the shelf and have to reorganize a bunch of stuff. It's time. It's been like a certain way for a while. And life's busy, man. But thank you for joining us on episode 340 of Atomic Radio Hour, the post nuclear podcast. I've been your host, Vince. The intro music is by the one and only Shane Ivers. The song is called Feather Duster. You should be hearing it right now. Go to his website, silvermansounds.com, and you can get a bunch of his free heaters. Feather Duster, a bunch of other ones. I believe one is called Bees, and that was a really good one. Links in the description to the social medias. I don't know if we're still using Twitter or not. My Twitter, Kyle's Twitter, the show's Twitter. The Patreon. Thank you to the Patreon. Check out that if you liked this show. Also, there is links to the Discord. Please join the Discord. Come hang out. Also, the Redbubble. I love you guys very, very much. Be well. Be safe. Be good.
I'll be talking to you soon. I'm trying to think of something that doesn't tip your waitress. I love you. How about that? How about I love you? How about that's all you got to hear? I care about you deeply. Call your mother for me because I know she's worried about you. I love you guys. Until next week.
Atomic Radio Hour Podcast.
A Ghoulman Entertainment Production.